My name is Jennifer, and welcome to our conversation. First and foremost, we are heading towards another important presidential election in a little over a month. After another consequential debate, where Trump failed to deliver a decisive blow and Harris performed above the low standards, the contest continues to be a very close contest. Kamala Harris is still wishy-washy about positions, as she is trying to hide from her record, past statements, and personal ideology to project whatever polls show that she needs to be. An effective strategy where voters have a clear opinion of your opponent one way or another. People generally are not supportive of the policy positions she backs when they actually are confronted by them. But Trump once again allows the conversation to be about abortion and other issues that are not top of mind for the broadest segment of voters, but can create instant hysteria during a campaign. What does Donald Trump have to do in order to pull ahead and secure a victory come November?
From a policy perspective, Donald Trump is the right candidate to be the president of the United States. On the economy, domestic policy, and foreign policy, his and the Republican agenda aligns closer to the American people than the progressive agenda that Kamala Harris and her Democrat cohorts. But Democrats excel at making elections personal by defining their opponents, even if the narratives and messaging is inaccurate, exaggerated, or completely fabricated. So Donald Trump needs to be able to elevate the conversations, especially when talking to moderates, above the fray and hysteria, which I think he struggles at times to do. The election is not about Trump. It is about the American people. But his ego sometimes helps his enemies cloud the important conversations at the expense of the American people. The biggest risk for the general public is that progressive economics and social policies expand in our society, not just a Republican or Democrat conversation, but the need to avoid the progressivism that is largely a result of the modern view of socialism and communist leanings.
Now, the entertainment world is learning more about Sean Combs, professionally known as Diddy, formerly known as P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, the founder of Bad Boy Entertainment, an industry-leading music producer and artist in his own right, who founded acts like the Notorious B.I.G., 112, Maze, Craig Mack, Shine, and The Lox, to name a few. Diddy faces pending federal lawsuits from past artists, settled a couple lawsuits, including one from a former partner, and now a federal investigation and prosecution over alleged sexual inappropriateness at his properties in New York, Los Angeles, and Miami. Many people are fans of the products of Bad Boy, shocking to many, but seemingly expected by those who were around him.
The accusations against Diddy are quite troubling, but these are just allegations at this point. Although we think the leaks are completely definitive, they may not be. We cannot always believe that every clip on social media is the whole story. That said, it is far from a good look to have these types of accusations made against you, a video showing domestic violence and other leaked content that show potential other abuses. Diddy, the music mogul, fashion investor with Sean John, and major Democrat donor and supporter, was an iconic figure whose downfall is surprising for many, but not really when you consider how many people in power and wealth, especially in the world that is close to gang violence, abuse others around them and their station in life. I can assume there is a lot that will come out, and more high-profile stars will be connected with these parties or freak-offs, and there will be people who are accused of being associated but are not. Others that are? We do not know much right now, but, at the very least, we are getting some funny social media content. Now, the issues with power and their abuse of that power is something that we will need to discuss in the future, and also the projections and deflections used to excuse bad behaviors.
Finally, let us discuss the long-awaited rate cut that was finally enacted. Since the beginning of the year, there were many economists, market pundits, and investing commentators who tried to predict how many and how severe the rate cuts the Federal Reserve may enact. The only entity in the government space that actually played an effective role in fighting inflation was the Federal Reserve. No, the Inflation Reduction Act did not address inflation at all. It was just a convenient name to label a bill that had little to nothing to do with inflation. On one side, the Federal Reserve is fighting inflation, but the counter risk is that their efforts would create harm to economic growth. The other side of the coin. Do you want to have a hot economy with rising costs, or an affordable economy where no one can work? That is the two sides of the fight the Federal Reserve tackles with their policy decisions. The economy is shrinking and opportunities are reducing. In response, the Fed reduced interest rates by 0.5% to try to stimulate the economy to avoid completely falling into a recession where impactful job loss is experienced, a stronger cut than many anticipated.
The state of the economy is not good right now, Companies are shrinking their workforces, and there is a great drop-off in the level of economic activity right now. The areas of potential growth are drying up for many industries, and even industries like tech that are generally able to thrive in the worst environments are behaving differently than expected. The fact that we need a rate cut at this moment is quite troubling. Ideally, we would see inflation stabilize a bit, and then the market and overall economy somewhat settle before needing a cut. But the conditions are not looking good. We have to remember how we fought inflation. The increasing of interest rates were done because there was a need to change market behaviors as supply was unable to address demand. The consumer market was improperly fueled with resources, while producers were unable to maintain their supply chains. So, the focus was to alter behaviors by tempering demand by making inflation a bit hotter. The long-term goal would be that consumers, both personal and commercial, might finally alter behaviors so that demand could drop. The delicate balance is that policymakers at the Federal Reserves do not want demand to drop to the point where it snowballs into a recession that costs people jobs. Every policy enacted at any level of government has some level of unpredictability. People do not always behave in the manner that you anticipate. So there is a risk that the broader public overreacts to the rate increases and completely stops spending money, which would push us into a recession. There was a risk that was seen that the broader public did not get the message, and there were enough people with resources and inelasticity that would continue to spend and continue with the imbalance that policymakers were trying to fight, eventually pushing us into a recession or worse when the supply side is completely stripped. I am not sure that the rate cut will change people's behaviors right away. Some things will temporarily reduce in cost. That is what rate cuts are intended to do. Encourage economic activity by improving the buying power people have. Now, the real issues are how the economic infrastructures respond. Many employers are not looking to expand their staff, other than some retailers heading into the holiday season or delivery services for the same reason. Many companies, I believe, will choose to stand pat and take a wait-and-see approach. The rate cut will not really create opportunity in the short term. Only a series of rate cuts would, just like it took a series of rate increases, more than probably expected, to get the growth in inflation under control. Keep in mind that inflation being under control does not mean that prices are actually dropping overall. Some might because of elasticity in certain markets that are not in others. I will talk about inflation more in an upcoming podcast episode. For this perspective, I think the rate cuts could make investors a bit happy, but I am not sure it makes a real impact on the overall economic environment.